We're going to preach here in just a minute, but I want to bring your attention that this is something that I have been going over for a period of time now. When do we start a building fund? And I've waited and waited and waited. If you know, it's not like we're in one service that's half full and we say, hey, it's time for a building fund. Folks, we're in three services. Two of them are pretty full. Third one is growing. We've been in the need for a building fund, but I have waited and waited and waited, and then praying and fasting and really asking God for counsel, and then sitting down with several men who really, not even knowing so, was giving me great counsel in regards to, Sean, when are you going to pull the trigger, man? When are we going to go into a building fund? Because we need room. We don't just build a building to build a building. I love our brown box. I love the atmosphere in this place, and I love the stories and the heart in this place, which isn't going to change. But it's time that we get serious about building a building fund. And it's time we get serious about tithes and offerings in regards to giving and giving towards a building fund. I want to just share, this is the way Renee and I do this, is we are going to give our tithes and offerings, as we always do. And then every time I get paid, I'm going to write an extra check for the building fund. That's what, because listen, I'm going to lead you by example. I want this place built ASAP. I want this place built as soon as we possibly can build it. We will go up, we will go out, we will go over, we will go in any direction. We've already talked to architects. We will go in so many different directions of what we need to do here on these grounds to build a building. And we're looking at probably $1 million plus. A lot of people were like, well, that's probably a low figure. A lot of people are like, man, $1 million is just so much money. When you understand today's day in building things, $1 million is not all that much. So it might be $1 million plus. And really what we're doing. And we will get more of a direct figure when we really sink our teeth into this thing. But we are not going to put the cart before the horse and go into this huge building before we have a good amount of funds in an account to be able to do this. And so, folks, we are in need of a building, as you can tell. We're elbow to elbow. And we don't even have the college students. So many are missing today because of the break. Some are here, but many are missing. And we love our college students, man. God has blessed us with this generation, and God has blessed us with the children's ministry, who's now averaging over 100 kids every week now, over 100. And just what God is doing is just amazing. And we have so many different plans on what we can do to this building, and so much more of that is to come. But today is a tie, and it's so great because we got envelopes for just specific building funds. So if you're going to do a building fund, you can write it on the check, or if you would please use the envelope so we know specifically that that goes towards building. And it's just kind of funny because here we have nice envelopes, and I just saw these this morning. Teresa, we ordered them this week. We got them in. We're all pumped. We got 5 boxes of these things, and they're this. Like, seriously, what are you going to put in this thing? Like, this, like, whose brilliant idea in all of the envelope world thinks, let's do a building fund and act like we're going to build a doghouse or something so tiny and small? Like, this, like, we'll have bigger ones next week, folks. But if you really want to give into the building fund, you can certainly grab some of these at the desk. But we'll have man-size envelopes. Like, real? I mean, look at this. Like, what are you going to? Someone said, well, you can put a credit card in that. Yeah, I'm not putting my credit card in there for you people. I'm just not going to do that. So I don't even have a credit card, to be honest with you. But grab an envelope. We'll have man-size next week. Super size, king size, and we'll go from there. But we are going to talk about giving this morning, and I want you to clue into this. We don't dog on giving. We don't come to a point to every week we're going to talk about giving. It's rare, it's few, because we're a giving church. We're a giving church. We're in a very good place financially as a church, and it's tremendous. And if you ever have any questions financially, please come see me. Please see Robin Sloat. She's a treasurer, and we will give you any documents, whatever you want. It's not our money, folks. It's your money that you're putting into the kingdom of God. So we're wide open church in regards to what you want to see. I even believe anything is, and everything is actually even online as well. So if you have any thoughts or anything you want to see financially for this church, please come see me, come see Robin. We'll put something in your hand, and we'll go from there. But just because I want you, people give when they trust. I want you to have an open trust with what goes on here, because so many times I think people have been so damaged, literally. I believe the local church has been so damaged by what people get a picture of what the church wants when they see things on television. I think people get this picture, church only wants money because of what they see on television. And if I was an outsider looking in, it'd be hard to disagree with that, folks. But if you've been at Believer's Chapel any length of time, you know that, man, we're not all about your money. We're about what God says, and we're about people, and we're about love, and we want to see God do a work, and we want to impact this region. We want to impact this nation, folks. We have an opportunity. Could you imagine the impact we could have in 10 years when this building, I want the building up ASAP. I mean, I want it up now. Honestly, if we had a 700, 800 seat sanctuary, we would have people in impacting even on a greater level than we are now today. So I am pumped about the impact that we can have. And when that building is completely paid for, could you imagine? That's a one-shot deal, gang. Could you imagine if we build a sanctuary that sits 700-800 people and then you go to two services? Amen. That is huge. Amen. And then when that's paid for, we are here. I mean, this is the place we're at. Could you imagine, honestly, what we could do? Money does equal impact. You imagine what we could do globally and locally and regionally within just a few short years. Just if you put your thoughts together and you look ahead. Man, I'm a visionary, man. I want to see what's ahead. And I am one who is motivated by goals, and I'm motivated by future, and I'm motivated by vision. I'm motivated by where we could be in 1 year, 5 year, in 10 year. That's what gets me going, man. That's what motivates me. And man, you could imagine what we could do. Oh, it's awesome. We're in a great place. So man, if you know that you're elbow to elbow and you know that God has an absolute plan for this region through Believer's Chapel and what we could accomplish together, it's incredible. And this morning I want to talk about giving, and I want to preach it in a sense of talking about what motivates you. Because really there's a thing that should motivate us. There's two things: motivated by love and motivated by truth. Next week we're going to talk about motivated by truth, but this week we're going to talk about being motivated by love. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Oh God, I thank you for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for the lives that are being changed. I thank you for the homes that are being rearranged. I thank you for husbands and wives and children and teenagers, young adults, college students. God, I thank you for those who are retired. God, coming into a place that is full of life and full of joy and has great hope for those who are broken and hurting and lost. Father, I thank you for your word is truth. And you speak to us again and again and again, God. Father, I ask again this morning that you speak to us today through your word. God, help us to clear everything out and just clue in and pay attention to you this morning. Folks, that you would ask God, God, speak to me about giving today. God, speak to me about giving. Open my eyes to see clear today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Folks, let me ask you, what motivates you in life? I mean, seriously, I've been going over this word motivate for the week because this is what ought to really motivate us in giving is love. That should motivate us. I want you to turn to two places, please. 1 Corinthians 13 and John 12. 1 Corinthians 13, John 12. Let me ask you, have you ever been to a job interview and they ask just crazy questions? Like the one that you just dread the most. Like, what are your strengths and what are your... I mean, honestly, what are you going to say? Oh, I'm going to sleep in. I'm going to steal from the company. I'm going to be late. I'm going to call in sick and go fishing. I'm going to complain about the boss. I mean, like honestly, how do you answer that question? Well, what's your weakness? I hate that question. And it's a difficult question to really answer because there's not really depth to that because no one really tells them about how really weak they are because they want the job, right? I mean, come on. But another question that I asked that I think is an absolute fair and solid and deep question is what motivates you? Because when you understand what motivates you, why is it that you get up in the morning? Motivate, it means to push. What pushes you? What drives you? What is it that impels you forward? That's what motivate means. And man, when you understand what motivates is future, is goals, is seeing fruit, is knowing that we are making an impact. This is what motivates me, is when I look at a goal and I go to accomplish that task, I look at the different things that God's doing and I'm going after what God is doing and I see some fruit in what God is doing. And then that just continues to push and continues to drive me forward to do everything I can do for the glory of God. But when you understand different things that motivate biblically, folks, what honestly, this is the deal. What should motivate us the most, the top motivator in who we are, in our complete and total surrender, is love. Come on, 1 Corinthians 13 says this, because you're going to see this. And it has to do with your giving. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says this, if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I do not have love, look what it says, a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, now look at this, it's huge. If I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains. If I can have such faith to say, mountain be removed. But I do not have love, I am nothing. Honestly, folks, what motivates us? In our spiritual gifts, what motivates us? In our sense of prophecy, in our sense of knowing the Word of God, in our sense of even our level of faith. What's your motivation for that? If it's not love, look at verse 3. And if I give all my possessions, here it is right here. If I give, that means give. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, even to the point of death, look what he says. But do not have love, it profits me nothing. Folks, what motivates our giving? If we give and we give, I mean, I think sometimes we're motivated to give on wrong motivation, because maybe you saw something on television by this pastor or this preacher or this evangelist says, if you give $25 an hour for the next year, you'll have a new car. Well, if I spend $25, I could have several new cars. There's such awful motivation. One of the absolute sticky points of bad teaching and giving is you get. Like, if you're motivated only to get, and yes, God will bless, we'll talk more in detail on that, but if you're only wanting to get, you're a taker. And it's a wrong motive. Maybe you got into some teaching where if you don't give, you're going to get sick. And because you're sick is because you didn't give, and your child's going to grow a tenth toe or something crazy ridiculous, and God's going to punch you in the face. Folks, that's not a good motive to give. Don't you understand? If we are, honestly, man, if we are motivated by love to understand why we give, to understand, I want a church that celebrates giving. Listen, Renee and I, man, when I came to a point to understand what it is to give from a motivation of love, I was 20-some years old, man, 21 years old, and I came home from college, and I was kind of a little mess. I'm not going into deep testimony. You've heard the testimony before, but there was a point where I found myself on my floor face down in absolute tears because of the absolute goodness and the love of God, that He would love me continuously, and He had such patience for me. And honestly, I remember in that sense, in that moment of complete and total surrender, where I said, that door behind me to the world is now cemented shut and closed, and I am forever, always forward for you. And I'm telling you what, in that point, folks, this is before I was even married, in that point, there was complete surrender, and finances went with it. Because I was motivated by His love for me. How does He love me? How does Jesus Christ find Himself on a cross for me? How does Jesus pay my penalty of sin, which I so rightfully deserve to be separated from God forever, but Jesus took that hit for me, and now He's gone to prepare a place for me, for there will be a day that I have complete and total absolute hope that I will be in eternity with endless praise forever with Him. How do I hold back? How does that not motivate me to surrender my finances? When you see in Proverbs 3:9, the Bible says, to honor the Lord with your wealth from the first of all your produce. What it is to honor God, that word honor, it means to show highest respect. With what? Our finances. What motivates that? Love. Because if we give and we don't love, folks, no blessing attached. God said it profits you nothing. So when you understand this isn't a sense of giving to get, there's absolute blessing attached. God is going to take care of us as we understand what it is to reap and to sow. But man, when you understand what is the bottom line, man, what is it that drives me for over 20 some years now, that, and listen, I'm not one to, who writes a bill to the church. I'm not one who writes my tithe as a bill, but I can tell you this, we've set up our whole budget in a sense of the very first thing is our tithes and our offerings. And then comes car payment, then comes house payment, then comes entertainment, then comes food and all the essentials of life when you come to point. But everything, I will live off of what I need, but this is absolutely top shelf. So it can never be said, I can never say I don't have enough to give, because that's first. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and from the first of all your produce. I take that literally, folks. He gets my first, he gets my best. It's been like that for over 20 years, and Renee and I have walked in great blessing. And when you understand, I have two fathers, man. I have my Heavenly Father that is the absolute most generous, amazing giver of all. For yet he loved the world, he gave. What was he motivated by in his giving? Love. And I have an earthly father who I always grew up in a home that understood what it was to always give and always be generous. Where God, Dad would say over and over, you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. Sean, don't ever buy into a lie. Sean, you can never outgive God. He gets the first and he gets the best, because you're supposed to honor him from your wealth and show the highest respect to him. And it's got to be from your first. That's the home I grew up in, folks. That's Proverbs 3:9. And when you understand what is it that motivates us, man, what is it that drives us? What is it that pushes us forward in giving? I'm motivated by love. To understand exactly what God, you are the greatest example of love and giving and being motivated. For God so loved the world. God so loved those who walked in sin. God demonstrated his love for us. And yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even in the midst of my filth, even in the midst of my shame, even in the midst of my sin, what did God do? He loved me. And what did that motivate him to do in his love for me? He gave his only begotten son, that if I would believe in him, man, I will never perish. I will never perish, but I will what? I will have eternal life. And when you understand the gift of eternal life is Jesus, and you have life forever with him, gang, how do you not? I mean, listen, I don't understand this whole concept of not giving. I just honestly don't get that. If you really understand all that God has personally done for you, what God has done for you personally in salvation, and in the even way past salvation, and today living in abundance, and today walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit with love and joy and peace, where God is going to come in and rearrange your home, where in your home, then there will be a sense of joy. There'll be a sense of peace. There'll be a sense of rest. In his presence, there is courage. Where his mercy is new every morning. Where every single day he bears my burden. How do you not come to a place to be motivated by love just to give? Motivated by obedience. Motivated by trust. Motivated by truth. But to understand, God, you love me. Man, all that you've done for me, I owe you everything, God. I do. I owe you everything. What happens when you understand what it is to have a love for others? Because honestly, can I say this truthfully and sincerely? Every single one of us, including myself, are in this church because people love you and they love me to give to a place that God's presence will come, where God's people will come, and healing will come, and lives will be changed, and marriages will come. I mean, this only is possible because people had a love and were motivated by love to give. And man, what if? I don't understand where there's this battle going on. Should I give or not give? Well, I saw online once. Folks, you can get online and hear anything you want to hear. Please hear that. You can get online and you can hear anything that you want to hear. Well, I don't know if the tithe is for today. I don't know if the tithe is Old Testament or New Testament. We're not under law. I mean, you could go into all kinds of different directions. This is what I know. Tithe is mentioned in the Old Testament. Tithe is mentioned in the New Testament. Matthew 23:23. Jesus himself says, this is what you ought to do. And he's talking about the tithe. And if Jesus says that, that's good enough for me. And there are many who say, well, the tithe isn't for today, but because of Old Testament, that's the starting point, and then you should go way above that in your offering. And I mean, there's so many different directions. You know what I know? This is what I know. God says to give. You know what I know? God says that we should be supposed to be motivated by love for him and for others, and that should drive our giving, and it should be cheerfully, and there should be a celebration when it's time to give, knowing the end result is fruit. Awesome. Awesome. What am I supposed to give? Is the church the storehouse? I mean, again, we could get into all kind of crazy different directions. Old Testament, I believe the church is the storehouse. That is where you're being fed. New Testament, the temple. What did they give to the temple? That was the place where they gathered. You know what this place is? This is the place where we gather, and this is the place where we are fed, and this is the local church. And yes, I do believe biblically, Old Testament, New Testament, you're supposed to give to the local church. Let me just be real sincere, and this is no hit on any other nonprofit organization. It's not. There are some good ones, there are some bad ones. But Renee and I personally, we give to one nonprofit organization, and that's the church. That's not just Believer's Chapel, but that's the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying anything's wrong with the SPCA. I'm not saying anything wrong with you. Nothing wrong with those in any way. But I'm saying the majority of out there will give their tax donation to them. That's what they will give them to propel them, and that's fantastic. But the church, gang, if you haven't noticed, in the world today we are the minority, and we need to continue to build one kingdom, and that's the kingdom of heaven. So, again, personally, I'm trying to be very honest and transparent with y'all. What Renee and I do, we don't give to any other nonprofit organization. We give to the Church of Jesus Christ to do His work throughout the world and locally. And I tell you what, it's powerful. It's powerful. It's powerful. The great return that God gives in life and in love. It's just amazing. It's amazing. Come on, John 12, please. I want to give you an example of what it is of one who understood what it was to honor Christ and to know the value of Jesus. How do you put a value on Christ? How do you put a value on salvation, folks? It's 2 Corinthians says it's an indescribable gift. Jesus is you can't describe the gift of salvation. You can't describe the gift of eternal life. You can't describe the gift of Jesus. How do you describe Christ and salvation and eternal life? How do you describe one through God's love for us, that motivated love that Jesus would come and die on the cross for me and my place? How do you describe it? How do you go deep in that? God says through Paul in 2 Corinthians, it's indescribable. So how do you actually put a tag? How do you put a value on that? I want you to see this. Here's one. You got Mary, you got Martha, you got Lazarus, you got Judas. This is a big story here. There's so much packed in John 12. Verse 1 says this. Jesus, therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Get this, y'all know the story. Lazarus dead for 4 days. Mary and Martha, who's Lazarus' sisters, Lazarus is their brothers. Lazarus got sick and he passed, and they got word to Jesus. And Jesus, he waited 2 days, he traveled 2 days. It was 4 days that Lazarus was dead. And they wanted, Jesus, come see Lazarus. Listen, this is about 3 years in, man. The Passover, this is close to the end. This is the weekend that Jesus was taken to go to the cross. So this is a short period, I don't know the time, I don't know the time where Lazarus died and came back to life, but it was recent. So they've been traveling with him for about 3 years. They know Jesus. They love Jesus. They've seen Jesus. They know his compassion, his love, and they built this amazing relationship walking and talking and watching Jesus and ministering to Jesus. They built this amazing relationship with Christ. And they said, could you come see Lazarus? Jesus waited 2 days, and he traveled 2 days, and he came, and Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And he goes to the tomb where Lazarus is. It says, remove the stone. They're like, wait a minute, he's been dead for 4 days. It's going to stink. He's been deceased. There's a stench, the Bible says. Move the stone. Lazarus, come out. So here you've got Mary and Martha, who Jesus just raised their brother from the dead a short time before the Passover here. Do you think maybe they had a new gained love and honor and respect for what Jesus just did for them in raising their brother from the dead? Can I just add right here that every one of us were dead in our trespasses had it not been for Jesus who raised us from the dead on the cross? And this is how Martha comes to a place to honor Jesus. Completely and totally with one motivation and her love for him. That's what motivated her here. Look at this, verse 2. So they made Jesus a supper there, and Martha was serving, but Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. And Mary took a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume.
But Judas, here Judas is. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" See, he gives us something critical here to know the amount of the perfume. Now listen, I don't know if this was just Mary's perfume. I don't know if Lazarus pitched in. I don't know if Mary pitched in. I don't know if other people, but 300 denarii, folks, get this, please hear this. This is 1 year's wage. That's a full, could you imagine taking your one, a complete and total full year's wage? And within, how long does it take? I mean, matter of seconds to minutes, maybe a minute or less to pour a vial of perfume on his feet. A whole complete year's wage to anoint Jesus' feet. She takes her hair and she begins to wipe his feet with her hair. You look at this compassion. Look at this love. Look at how she values and honors the one who's right before her, the one who raised her brother from the dead. You can imagine this relationship. You can imagine love. Gang, how much more us now that we understand the fullness of Scripture, of all that Jesus has done for us, recognizing the work of the cross. Gang, are we honestly, man, does that motivate us to give? This was a financial offering that she gave. Motivated by passion for a love for Jesus. And let's look at the other side, folks, because there's only two types of people, givers and takers. And isn't the Bible just so real when it just comes right to a place to say, listen, 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 where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You can't have it both ways. You can't not put your treasure towards the things of your really comfortable place to love Christ and understand salvation. It can't be split. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. If your treasure is towards the things of God and in towards the kingdom of God, because you're motivated by a love for what God has done and a love for Jesus and all that he sacrificed for you, then your heart will be there also, but you can't have it both ways. And look at where she put her treasure. And look at Judas. Look what he says. Why was this perfume not sold for 300? Why wasn't this sold for the poor? And I love this, man. It goes right to the point. Now, he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. He had a money box, and he used to fifer through and take from it. Therefore, Jesus said, I love this. Could you imagine this? Here, Jesus looks right at Judas and says, leave her alone. You know, I don't see Jesus saying, oh, that's enough. Oh, I'm only here to serve. Don't do that. You know, Mary, you need to keep that for you need to keep that for others. You know, Jesus says, leave her alone. This is deeper, Judas, than you think it is. This is deep. Judas, you have no clue of who's right in front of you. She gets it. He knew a year before this, he called out, Judas, one of you is going to betray me. And just after this, he goes and he finds the chief priest and he sells Jesus off for 30 pieces of silver. Probably that he took from the money box. Isn't that amazing? So here Jesus calls him out and said, leave her alone. Judas, you are missing whom is right in front of you. Do you not know my value? Do you not know my worth? Judas, you're a taker. You're not going to give this to the poor. You could give a rip about the poor. Leave her alone. I love this. Look what he says. So that she may keep it for the day of my burial. You realize that when someone would pass, they would spice him up and put anointing oil on him and try to do what they could do for the burial. But do you realize that when Jesus was put in the tomb, it was the Sabbath and nobody could go to the tomb on that day, and they came after that, and yet it was too late because Jesus was already raised. And here she does something not even knowing that she's preparing him for burial and anointing his body with perfume because it would be too late, because the Bible says that that whole same crew was coming to the tomb to anoint his dead body with perfumes, but yet when they got there, he was already raised from the dead. So Jesus brings some prophesying here and says, listen, it's for my burial.
Leave her alone, Judas. And all I see here, man, I get this picture and I see where Mary is really before the feet of Jesus, pouring out this very costly perfume, a whole complete year's wage that probably was emptied in a matter of seconds. Because she was motivated by love for what she saw in Jesus. Folks, it's not a difficult thing to give. It's not confusing. It shouldn't be difficult to give. When you understand all that Jesus has done for us, that we truly as well were dead in our trespass, had it not been for Jesus and the blood of what has saved us forever. Come on, let's pray, please. You know what the enemy of appreciation is? You know what the enemy of generosity is? It's self. You know what Judas was full of? Himself. And please know this, folks. I really don't know what you give. I don't look at the books. This ain't between you and me. It really isn't. This is between you and God. And your place of honor of Him in your lives, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Man, I want celebration in giving. I want people who understand that, who know the value of Christ. And we understand, man, in this temporary life, He's given me life eternal. My eyes have been opened. I've responded to the gospel. God the Father was motivated by love for me to send His own Son to die a brutal death on a cross, and that His wrath would be poured out on His Son for me. How am I not motivated to give? How is it that I would hold back? I'm telling you, man, from that moment on the floor, giving has never, ever, I mean, not once, folks. Not once has it ever been an issue. I can't wait to give. I can't wait to say thank you. I can't wait to honor God with my giving. Show the highest respect. See, I really, honestly, I owe you everything. You've given me your Son. You've given me life. You paid the price for me. You died for me. You love me. Your compassion is for me. You're motivated by love for me. For God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with my loving kindness. I've been drawn to God by His love. Difficult, folks. When you clear out all the crazy teaching and you clear out all the nonsense and you just come to a point and say, Jesus, for me, how can I hold back from you? This is just honestly, man, it's between you and Him. So I'm asking you, man, what has God spoke to you today? Is it a matter of surrender? Is it a matter of honestly not being at that place where Martha was? And understanding His value and His worth where He's right in front of you. His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His tenderness, His patience for you. God, please. God, we don't want to give with the motivation to get. We don't want to give because we're so concerned that you're going to hammer us in the face. God, we want to give honestly, according to 1 Corinthians 13:3, because we are motivated by love. When we give in that, God, there is great reward. Then we have profit. Then we have gain. I'm asking that our eyes and our heart will be open to see this truth this morning. Speak to us today. Jesus' name.